Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is October 9th, 2019. For those of you listening to this show 100 years from now, realizing that everybody in this audience was a lot smarter than the general population. Just want to mention one thing before we start the Renew Life RX show with Ronnie Milo in just a moment. I'm on vacation next week, but I've dug down deep and we're rerunning some shows that show that this podcast is way ahead of the curve. The original interview I did with Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony in 2010, 9 years ago, about rapamycin as an anti-aging drug, the whole discussion about mTOR and AMPK, way ahead of the curve. The original show about raw food eating that flipped everybody on their ear because they thought we were talking about raw vegan type. No, we're talking about raw chicken, raw fish, raw meat. Randy Roach and Joshua Trentin. Joshua Trentin came on and said eating raw meats is as productive as anabolic steroids when training. The original show that we did with Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale, where everybody flipped out when he said no post-workout carbohydrates to improve and increase the length of time that you remain anabolic. That show, I think, was from 2007 or 8 originally. Rerunning the original show on blood donations, eliminate cancers and heart disease in humans. I got some great shows this week, this coming weekend. For those of you who've heard them in the past, I mean, these shows are all 10 years old and older. For those of you who've heard them in the past, it's worth listening to them again to kind of reinvest in these concepts that still survive today. And then, of course, there's a lot of new listeners who haven't had the chance to listen to those shows. So they will be airing all week long. And Elisa and I are taking our vacation, actually for her birthday. And I'm looking forward to being away for a little while. And without further delay, let's get Ronnie and his handsome mug.
The first step to changing your life starts with the Renew Life Show with Adam Lamb.
Eventually, I'm going to change that. Eventually, I'm going to have Ronnie Milo. Once Adam says he's not doing the show anymore. How you doing?
Good. Good. How you doing? It's funny that you mentioned that show about raw eating. It's actually back in the day, I listened to that, and we email you questions, and I emailed you a question, and you answered on air. Remember that?
So interesting. You know, that's the show where Randy Roach admitted, you know, Randy's blind, mm-hmm. and he's a raw food eater. And that's the show I got the most emails, people sending me emails and saying, did he say he left the chicken breast out on the counter overnight and then ate it the next day? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't get sick.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great shows.
Groundbreaking shows. I mean, these shows were so way ahead of the curve. And the whole discussion with Dr. Di Pasquale, where he's actually talking about ketosis and ketone levels extending the anabolic window, don't have carbs post-workout, extend the anabolic window literally for hours and hours, your glycogen restores anyway overnight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I go back and listen to the old shows.
Yeah. People were like insane about that. Well, you've got to have 80 grams of dextrose with your protein powder. No, you really don't.
The old bro science.
Yeah, that stuff is all. So this are some really, really great shows. Yeah. Coming up next week. I hope people enjoy listening to them again. This is really a really interesting discussion. I want to preface it by saying that I had Dr. Scott Stevenson on the show either beginning of this year or end of last year, where he came on and talked about, he kind of dispelled this whole free androgen theory. He said, the medical orthodoxy only pays attention to the unbound sex hormones, testosterone, DHT, and so on, and even estrogens, that if once it's bound up by sex hormone binding globulin, the medical orthodoxy kind of acts like that's just not doesn't count because it's not biologically active. That's the word they like, right? So they only pay attention to the free testosterone. And mm-hmm. Scott came on and said, there's more going on here. I think it's a mistake to ignore total testosterone. Just because it's bound up doesn't mean that the body isn't using it. And he talked about some evidence that pointed to, that is actually being used in tissue. Lo and behold, Adam Lamb sent us both a study yesterday that not only shows that this is true, but actually identifies the protein responsible for making sex steroids that are bound to sex hormone binding globulin active in tissue. Fantastic. Talk about it.
Yeah. So at Renew Life, we try to really, push the threshold on educating ourselves to educate a customer on optimization of hormones. And there's, to your point, there's a lot of different mechanisms of action that goes on in hormone production, right? So the one thing that Adam sent over was a study which was really intuitive, was the study on megalin. And megalin is an endocytic receptor for cellular uptake of sexual steroids, SHBG complexes. So what that is it responsible for testosterone to bind with SHBG to bind to megalin to get into the cell to create endocytosis to start transcription activation of the testosterone or any sexual hormone binding globulin. Also, too, it binds to 17 beta estradiol to SHBG for the same mechanism of action. Now, what happens is if there's a high SHBG or a high testosterone and the megalodin is not active, it can't get into the cell area for transcription activation. So,
and in fact, knockout rodents that have both pairs knocked out of the genetic producers of LRP2 or megalin.
Mm-hmm.
The females have what's called blockade of the vagina. The vagina never opens up completely.
Right.
And the males are called cryptorchidism, which is a failure for testicles to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cryptorchidism has been tied to DHT, as has vaginal blocking. DHT is responsible for turning the genitalia into male genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening, and I'm sorry, an estrogen for the female. And so what's happening is the lack of production, the complete lack of production of megalin or LRP2 deactivates tissue's ability to use DHT. Even in the presence of DHT in the bloodstream, it doesn't become activated. And keep in mind, LRP2 only works on bound sex steroids. It's not not working on the free stuff. It's only working on the bound sex steroids, which totally obliterates this notion that the medical orthodoxy has that, bound testosterone and bound estrogen, they're just of no consequence because they're not biologically active. They are biologically active. This mm-hmm. proves it.
Right. So it's another piece of the puzzle to complete the process, right? You could use an endogenous mount or exogenous mount of testosterone, and if it's not creating into that megalin, it's not getting into the cell area, it's not able to start with transcription activation. So therefore, it's being bound up somewhere or it's not being utilized correctly. So you could be taking, 200 milligrams of testosterone or whatever you may be taking over the counter. If it's not transcripting into the megalin, then it's not active at all.
And interestingly enough, double knockout rodents that don't produce any megalin
mm-hmm.
usually die very quickly, number Definitely. One. But right. the ones that do live show dramatic examples of rickets. And that's because megalin also affects other fat-soluble, we call them vitamins, but they're actually hormones, 25-hydroxy and retinol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, talk about that. That's a reciprocal relationship, right? So if you don't have enough vitamin D, you'll actually produce less megalin, right?
Yeah. So we see a lot, if you have vitamin D deficiency, you'll see that decrease of megalin. So what happens is there's not able to complete the process again. And I've seen probably the last 4 or 5 years, about 95% of people are vitamin D deficient. Also vitamin A deficient as well. A deficiency will downregulate megalin as well.
You know, and people don't realize this, but vitamin A is also known as the retinoid X receptor modulator. Mm-hmm. And the retinoid X receptor has been associated with hypertrophy of protein synthesis, mm-hmm. As well as stem cell differentiation. If you don't have enough vitamin A, real vitamin A, Elisa just had her DNA done not too long ago. She does not convert carotenoids to vitamin A. There's a large percentage of the population that don't. They right. really need real vitamin A sources. Mm-hmm. But if you're not producing, if you're not getting enough real vitamin A in your diet, you won't build as much muscle as you potentially could.
Absolutely. And then also, too, as we spoke earlier about it, is the downregulation of megalin is present when there are statins aboard, because megalin is a LDL, it's a lipodensity protein. And that's responsible for the facilitation of that. But if you're on a statin and you're limiting cholesterol, mainly LDLs, then megalin is non-existent. Megalin doesn't get into the transcription to bind to testosterone, SHBG. Then you'll start to see a lot of different effects, like hypogonadism and different issues like that.
Well, so let's talk about that for a second. Megalin is responsible for the biological effects of a variety of fat-soluble and cholesterol-soluble hormones, and I'm mm-hmm. lumping vitamin D and vitamin A into that because they are hormones.
Right.
So there's evidence that a reduction in megalin could actually cause kidney damage, and we all know that statins are well known to lead to kidney damage.
And liver damage as well.
And that's another one, liver right. damage. So when we're talking about megalin, because we're only interested in the effects of testosterone and DHT and all that sort of stuff, but the reality is that megalin is unlocks the potential of a lot of cholesterol-based and fat-based hormones, which mm-hmm. have pleiotropic effects on the entire body, the brain, the kidneys, the spleen. It's not just about, you know, testosterone here.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is a lot of people don't understand that all your hormones are derived from cholesterol, right? And the regular medical agenda is to eliminate cholesterol because mm-hmm. cholesterol will kill you. But it's not the cholesterol that kills you. It's the oxidation of cholesterol. And what I usually recommend is oxidation means when you put a banana on the counter, it turns brown. That happens intracellularly to your cholesterol, right? And if you have an oxidation, it could consume free radicals. It could bind to each other, stick to the arterial walls, cause cardiovascular disease, hardening of the arteries. So the main thing is not to eliminate the cholesterol, is to eliminate the oxidation. You know, and high doses of vitamin C does that, antioxidants, vitamin E. Vitamin D is a very important role in that as well. There's a bunch of different things.
Glucose hyperoxidizes cholesterol.
Right.
As it does saturated fat. Mm-hmm. So when you have high blood sugar levels, you have hyperoxidation of both fats and cholesterol. Right. And this is why people go to the doctor. The doctor says, wow, you know, your cholesterol is really getting up there. I don't want to have to put you on a cholesterol drug. So I want you to stop eating red meat, stop eating animal fats, you know, just stay away from all that. So what does the guy eat or the gal eat? Instead, they eat a lot more carbohydrates. They eat more pasta. Yeah. They eat more bread because they got to lower their cholesterol by eliminating animal fats. Well, what people fail to realize is a triglyceride is three molecules of glycerol and mm-hmm. one fat. And glycerol is an offshoot of glucose. So while they're lowering their fat intake, they're increasing their carbohydrate intake. And what are they doing? They're raising their LDL cholesterol and they're hyperoxidizing it at the same time. This is a double whammy. It's the easiest way to raise your cholesterol and damage your body at the same time. Doctors don't get it. Animal fat is the, you know, Ansel Keys, animal fat, cholesterol, stop eating eggs. No, what those people should do is go to an ultra-low carbohydrate diet, stick to green vegetables, eat more healthy meats and eggs and fish, and their cholesterol will go down.
Right. Also, too, high blood sugar will crystallize around cholesterol and red blood cell count and make it very, I want to say, sharp in nature, sticky, and it'll scrape the arterial walls.
Right.
It'll actually, and that's where you see neuropathy, is because in the capillary space, it has to kind of stack up on each other to get through into the capillary space. But since they're so jaded and sharp in nature, that's not able to get into the capillary space because of the crowding of it, then you start to see neuropathy in diabetics.
And that is also part of the advanced glycation end product phenomenon. When mm-hmm. we talk about advanced glycation end products, what we're talking about is things become crystallized with excess glucose, kind of like rock candy,
right?
When you think about it. And those AGEs are manufactured by your body when you have very, very high blood sugar levels. And, okay, so AGEs, you can see them on the skin. If you see somebody who has a ever-increasing number of liver spots, and there's a name for liver spots, it's like fluco something. I'll look it up because Ron Penner just taught me the name. We're having this exact conversation. If you see those on your skin, you've got them on your organs too.
Absolutely.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Those are advanced glycation end products. And they, once they accumulate, they're very difficult to get rid of. Now, why would you want to get rid of them? Well, let's look at the heart for a second. If you have one of those liver spots that happens to be on the node of the heart where the heartbeat originates, just like dropping a drop of solder on a PC board and bridging a bunch of runs, you short stuff out. Those could be causing problems with kidney function, liver function, heart function, brain function. They're lesions. We talk about lesions. Oh, you've got lesions on your brain. They're lesions. Lesions are not good. But guess what potentially could reduce their accumulation? You're never going to believe it. You probably know.
Elimination of sugar.
No. You'll stop manufacturing them. But what can actually get them to recede? Low doses of beta-alanine. Low doses. You don't have to take the workout doses. You have to take the 1.4 grams three times. Just take 800 milligrams of beta-alanine a day, but do it. You got to do it for years because it takes years for those things to accumulate. They will start to actually go away. Beta-alanine will reduce advanced glycation end product that already exists in your body.
Interesting.
Very I know. Interesting. I know. Yeah. I take a little beta-alanine just for that reason, because I really am not looking for the buffering effect of it, but I'm absolutely interested in not accumulating more and getting rid of whatever I can when it comes to AGEs, because they are horrible. They're very, very horrible.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about megalin for a second and high cholesterol. So if statin drugs reduce LRP2 or megalin, then it stands to reason that having a fairly, I don't mean excessively high, I don't mean your blood is like sludge, but you know, higher than what we strive to have today probably increases megalin availability.
Oh, absolutely. It gives it more fuel to transcript it, to make the megalin, to help it utilize, you know what I mean? So
are you familiar with the Hawaii studies, the two studies done by the University of Hawaii about 12 years ago?
I'm not.
So there are two studies done by the University of Hawaii on aging populations. Everybody in the population was 60 years old or older. It was a longitudinal study. They got two separate batches of data, which produced two separate studies. And the takeaway from the study was the people who had the highest cholesterol levels at the beginning of the study, these are older people, 60, starting at 60. They checked them every 10 years for 20 years. No one talks about these studies, especially doctors.
Mm-hmm.
The people who had the highest cholesterol at the beginning of the study and maintained high cholesterol levels throughout the study were still alive at the end of the study. The people who had the lowest cholesterol levels at the beginning of the study and or whose cholesterol levels started to drop during the study were all dead by the end of the study.
Right.
So the takeaway from the study was As you age, maintaining higher cholesterol levels is actually protective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
And megalin may be one of the reasons, for all we know.
Right. Like I said, cholesterol won't kill you. It's the oxidation of the cholesterol that will. So.
Yeah. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more. Of course, I'm sure that they'll be running megalin tests at Renew Life RX very shortly, if Ronnie has anything to do with it. And, of course, you can go to RenewLifeRx.com to get started, reach out, ask questions. They can help people in all different states. They have a network of doctors all over the United States that they work with. I have so many people email me and say, I just got an email a couple days ago. My doctor won't put me on testosterone. This guy is hypogonadal. He's like in the low fours, but you know they move the bottom of the assay down now to like two something. So technically, if you're a guy and you have testosterone in the 200s, that's the high end for women. So you're not a guy anymore,
right?
And so I said, you know, call Renew Life RX, man. They'll run the tests for you. They'll get, because his doctor said no, you're okay, because you're still within the range. Meanwhile, he's got horrible symptoms. He's exhausted all the time. He's miserable. He's depressed.
And he's probably a young fella, too.
He is, actually. He's very young. He's only in his late 30s, early 40s, I believe.
Yeah. So he's definitely a good candidate.
RenewLifeRx.com. Check it out. We'll be right back with more of Ronnie Milo. Stay tuned.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl L-carnitine, and alpha lipoic acid to where they need to be. Your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from drseeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company, company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do those with literally no pain at all.
Go to drseeds.com, DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Will Fanton is watching live and said, this is a top shelf info. It is. Where can you get this kind of information just off the top of people's heads? You know, yeah. I mean, there's so many gurus out there today. But again, Superhuman Radio will be years ahead of the curve for years to come, as long as we continue to do the show. And you know why that is? Because I'm not an expert. I am just looking to learn. The audience just comes along. I want to know about this stuff, too. I mean, I want to read this closing line from the article. It's really interesting. Here, hold on a second. So one of the authors says that he concludes that megalin plays a role in the cellular uptake of carrier-bound sex steroids. That's critical. That is critical to proper development of steroid-responsive tissue. This is the first time that not only has someone said that sex hormone-binding globulin-bound sex hormones may actually be biologically active, but shows that they not only are they in fact active, but without megalin, we have all of these problems. As you pointed out, they actually gave rodents injections of testosterone, but these were rodents that are genetically predisposed not to produce megalin. The testosterone had no effect on them at all. So theoretically, even the biologically active free testosterone didn't stimulate a testosterone response in tissue, which means that for decades, we have been wrong. We've been wrong. Everybody looks at free testosterone, and free testosterone probably means it's not active.
Right. It's all about the activation. It's all about to get it intercellular, to get the transcription process going, to get the tissue to receive it for it to be utilized, right? Also, you know, going back to SHBG, is you still don't want it too high and you still don't want it too low because it still has to bind with the testosterone and megalin to get into the intercellular, right? And we always look at SHBG levels, and I think SHBG is still important to a role, but obviously, you know, megalin is more important. But I always recommend or always kind of position SHBG as the ninth batter in the lineup, right? I use a lot of sports analogies because I'm a coach. So the ninth batter, people dismiss it all the time, right? Oh, it's a ninth batter, but ninth batter is very important, right? It's to turn over the lineup. You want a person that's going to be able to draw a walk or get the person over.
Bring runs in, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So or the punter in football, right? Everybody dismisses the punter, but he scores some points or the kicker scores some points. You know what I mean? It could be a tight game. So we definitely want to look at SHBG, right? We don't want it too low. We don't want it too high. We want it, you know, in a good optimal range so it could bind with the testosterone and then bind to the megalin, right?
I'm just going to look at something. I'm looking at megalin production, sun exposure. Everything always comes back to sun exposure. I'm telling you, I'm not here. Vitamin D production mechanism. Let's see, sun exposure. No, I'll have to look this up real hard. This is going to take more than a megalin overview. Yeah. It looks like sun exposure through the melanocortin system may have a role in the production of megalin.
Oh yeah.
So
peptide, melanotan, and PT-141.
And they're magic. You know, melanotan, too. I mean, I haven't used it since the summertime, but I'm going to start using it again. I mean, that's been shown to actually reverse arterial plaque accumulation. Think about that.
Yeah.
without going on a vegan diet or any of these other stupid ideas, I have a blog post. I have to reshare it. That melanotin 2 given to rodents that were genetically predisposed to develop atherosclerosis, the body actually reabsorbed the plaque. And that's because melanotin 2 shuts down inflammation as well.
Right.
So it's really magic. A lot of people think it's just about tanning. It's not about tanning at all.
No. And also burns fat, too.
Hey, look at this. Dr. John Chrysler, rest in peace, said for years that chasing lower SHBG was futile. And in fact, what's more important is the testosterone to SHBG ratio we're finding out. Isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah. what is the sweet spot? Have you guys developed an intelligent ratio assessment, like we want you to be here and there?
Yeah, so optimal levels are 20 to 55. Right, anything under 20 is low, and anything over 55 is high. So the optimal range that we consider is 20 to 25.
And is that measured in nanograms a deciliter?
Yeah, nanograms a deciliter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, same as testosterone.
So if you have theoretically, if you have a 900 testosterone and a 50 SHBG, that's roughly. Let me think about this. So that's. 10, 20. That's about a 20 to 1 ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 testosterone to 1 SHBG.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you kind of calculate.
We want to monitor that, though. Yeah, I'm not a math magician, so.
I know. It took me a second to think about that, trust me. I was like, I had to do it in tens. Let's see, 10, yeah. 50, 500.
Yeah.
But good, you want to monitor that, you said.
Yeah, we want to monitor it because if we put you on, HRT or TOT or TRT, whatever you want to call it this week, we want to monitor it because it could go up, right? It could go up, and then we got to add a couple different things in to get it back down to optimal range. And if it's low, then we'll add some other therapies in there like HCG, testosterone, stuff like that. So we always want to monitor. That's why we do blood work 3, 6, and 12 months to monitor these things, because if it gets out of control, then we're not seeing the success with the programs.
Interesting. So theoretically, if I'm on super physiological doses of testosterone, then I would want to observe the ratio more than the top end.
Right. And that's what we take account for. Right. We take those two numbers together and kind of look at that and see what needs to be changed. And then also too, symptom based. Right. If somebody's on 200 milligrams of testosterone a week and they're not getting any relief in symptoms, and we got to look at other things, right? Got to look at SHBG, got to look at estradiol, estrogens, DHEA, all the other ones. It's not just one thing that it helps. It's multiple things that help. It's a puzzle, right? You got to put the right pieces in the right position to create the end picture.
So we know how we can raise megalin, right? Just higher cholesterol levels. And I'm not saying ridiculously high. I'm not saying go out there and destroy your cardiovascular system because you want high. But I mean, higher on the normal end of high cholesterol levels. Vitamin D production, probably sunlight is best. But if you wanted to raise SHBG, there seems to be a couple ways, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll see an increase of SHBG if it's low with androgen replacement, right? Any kind of testosterone.
But it's got to be an aromatizing androgen.
Absolutely.
Because 100%. Estradiol will raise SHBG, interestingly enough.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
because if you take Masteron, that'll actually lower SHBG, and that's because it doesn't aromatize the estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. A lot of bodybuilders would use Masteron as opposed to using an AI because it lowers conversion to estradiol, but it also, they'll use it to lower SHBG as well, right? I mean, a lot of bodybuilders do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes they'll use it without knowing what the SHBG is to begin with, right? So they're just shooting in the dark.
And then the other way that you can raise SHBG, and I'm not a big proponent. I'm not a proponent of daily metformin. I'm not a proponent of daily berberine. And I'm not a proponent of daily resveratrol. Because, and Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony, who you're going to hear his first interview from 2010 next week, came on my show. And I don't remember if it was that interview or the most recent one, but we talked about, when we talk about rapamycin, which rapamycin you take once every 2 weeks to once a week, depending on how sickly you are. And it has a 36 hour effective life in the body. So you take it on a Monday, it's still working Tuesday and Wednesday. So keep this in mind for a second. But then you're off for 2 weeks. He came on my show and said, it's a horrible idea to suppress mTOR daily. And this is a guy who's done all the work on the role of mTOR and AMPK in anti-aging. Keep in mind that almost 30 years ago, he was talking about this, and his colleagues, and you'll hear it in the interview that I'm going to play, said, you can't use that in humans. Like, that's a research chemical. You can't use that in humans. And he said, no, we can.
Mm-hmm.
So he came on my show and said, it's a terrible idea to suppress mTOR on a day-to-day basis, on a daily, you know, which is what daily metformin, daily resveratrol, daily berberine do. So I'm not espousing that, but if you do want to raise SHBG, you can take resveratrol. I would just take it maybe twice a week, take a fairly nice dose twice a week, and that's it. But resveratrol raises SHBG, interestingly.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of things to identify, too, is why does somebody have low SHBG, right? I ask them a lot of questions, like, how's your lifestyle, right? Sometimes the sleep apnea contributes to low SHBG because what's happening is they're not sleeping, and their body's not able to rejuvenate and circulate testosterone, so you'll see a low SHBG, right? Also, insulin resistance lowers SHBG.
Oh.
So does diabetes. So does acromegalia. Right. And people that are, you know,
giantism. Yeah. Right.
Giantism. Yeah. Hypothyroid. Another one that lowers SHBG.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the one question I ask when the blood work comes back is like, why do you have low SHBG? And I got to ask the right questions. Like, how's your lifestyle? You know, then we look at other factors, right? Is their blood glucose level elevated? Triglycerides elevated? Are they insulin resistant? What are they eating? How are they sleeping? Stuff like that, because that contributes to low SHBG.
So we have a question from Jeff Clifton. Jeff Clifton says, "I have low testosterone but high DHEAS. Is there a correlation? The first thing I would say is, what is your estradiol level? Because remember, DHEA is an aromatizing androgen. If a lot of it's being siphoned off to estrogen, it's not going to turn into testosterone. What do you think?
Right." I would also look at what's his luteinizing and FSH doing, right, to contributing to that low testosterone, right? And then also lifestyle assessment, how is your stress, right? Are you sleeping? Are you under a lot of stress? Because cortisol could lower your test, but keep your DHEA levels as high as well. So there's a couple different questions, a couple different modalities to look at. So to answer your question is, you know, we'd have to do blood work and look at other different factors, to Carl's point, estrogen as well, and see how you're performing. So I just can't make a determination, how one thing's working and one's not working.
Well, I remember reading a study probably almost 20 years ago that showed a correlation between high insulin and high DHEA.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be another thing. You could have a high DHEA as a result of having high insulin levels. So I would also say estradiol levels should be checked. Luteinizing and follicle stimulating hormones, as you point out, should be checked. But also prolactin, yes. But also... picograms a mil, 7. He's very, very low estrogen. That
7?
That's horribly low. Just for the, yeah. I don't know if that's 0.7 or 7
that's
picograms
dangerous.
A milliliter.
Right, that's so, dangerously low.
So keep in mind that guys with excessively low estradiol tend to develop Parkinson's disease at like a tenfold higher rate. Estradiol right. is not something that should be crushed in men. In fact, women catch up to us in the development of Parkinson's disease after they go through menopause and they stop producing high levels of estradiol. And estradiol has been shown in studies to protect the brain against a drug called MPTP, which causes spontaneous Parkinsonism in rodents. They took two groups of rodents, actually three. One got saline, one got nothing, and one got estradiol. They all were given MPTP, and only the group that was getting infused estradiol into the carotid artery, directly into the brain, resisted developing Parkinson's symptoms. You ready for this? For 6 weeks. All the other two rats, the controls and the ones that were just getting saline, they developed symptoms in like that day.
Mm-hmm.
So estradiol protects the brain, and men don't usually have enough of it. So you don't want your estradiol very, very low. 7.7. That's horrible. Wait a minute. 0.7 picograms would be 70 nanograms?
Yeah.
No, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
That's not 70 nanograms is a little high. That's good, but I don't mean a little high like, oh, you got to wear. Yeah, that's actually good because most guys are in the 40s, so that's good. But yeah, I would absolutely also look at your blood sugar and your C-peptide or direct insulin production, because insulin will raise DHEA, but it'll actually suppress the production of testosterone.
Right. And to your point about estrogen or estradiol, so starting to see a lot of these clinics infuse or compound anastrozole inside the testosterone, right? And to me, that's really a bad thing because you can't control that, right?
Right.
Because they're giving 1 milligram of anastrozole compound and then into 200 milligrams of cypionate. You can't control that. And what we do is we look at the total numbers and then we'll recommend – you know, anastrozole, but we'll hold off of it until you start to get side effects. If you start to get side effects, you call me or email me or text me and be like, hey, I'm starting to see some side effects of aromatization. Then we'll add them back in slowly, and then we'll do another blood evaluation in 3 months to see where it's at, right? Because estrogen is very responsible for sexual health, brain function, like you said, joint function, a bunch of different factors. And if you crash your estrogen, you will feel like a 90-year-old woman.
Do you remember when ATD was all the rage back in the day when we were all in the forums, the bodybuilding forums?
Oh, yeah.
So you took it. So then you could. I never took it, but so you could speak to this. So back in the day, ATD was an aromatase inhibitor, and it crushed. It made anastrozole look like, I don't know, like an amateur.
Yeah.
It's a suicide inhibitor, has a high affinity to estradiol, and it stays around in the bloodstream for a long period of time. Guys would take ATD, and by their third day, their libidos would crash. They couldn't even get erections. You remember that?
Oh, do that, too. You can't get out of bed in the morning. You have hot flashes, and then the bottom of your feet feel like you're walking on glass.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, you think like you walk on glass, and you're like, there's got to be glass on my feet, but they're not because it's so dry. It dries your joints out, too. That it feels like you're walking on glass. And people call me all the time. They're like, how do you know about that symptom? I'm like, I've had it before. And they're like, let's look at your estradiol. And it's 7. I'm like, okay, let's stop the anastrozole, right?
Right.
Stop it altogether.
Right.
You know? Right. And then within 2 weeks, they call me back, man, I feel so much better. You know, I have more motivation. You know, I want to have sex with my partner. You know, I'm like, okay, good. Well, we got that under control.
I want to go ahead and answer Stephen Hollins Bennett's question, and then we're going to take our last commercial break. So he says, why no daily berberine or Japanese knotweed resveratrol? So first I have to preface it by saying this. If you are not insulin resistant and you don't have excessively high blood sugar levels, maybe you're a fan of intermittent fasting or you have a low carbohydrate lifestyle or you're keto, you should not be taking berberine, resveratrol, or for that matter, metformin.
Mm-hmm.
If you are sick... And I use that word specifically because if you have very high insulin levels, if you have very high glucose levels, I mean, they're in the high 80s into the 90s, you're creeping up into the hundreds pretty soon, you're sick. Then you can take those as a rescue mechanism to minimize the damage to your body from the excessively high blood sugar levels. And we've talked about one of them already, you know, advanced glycation end products. Ronnie talked about neuropathies. But if you're not sick, if you're a healthy person and you're using those, then you are shutting off mTOR around the clock. The mammalian target of rapamycin is thought to be this parlor trick that increases muscle mass and protein synthesis. And it does do those things. But mTOR also has profound effects on the immune system. mTOR also has profound effects on bone mineral uptake and bone density. mTOR has profound effect on brain function. So this idea that I'm a healthy guy and I'm going to just start taking berberine every single day because some guy wrote an article about how great it is, it's a really a bad idea. Suppressing mTOR around the clock is not a good idea. But turning mTOR off for periods of the day, like fasting, and turning AMPK on, that's a good thing. That's the way your body was designed to work. It wasn't designed to be this way only or this way only.
Right.
And the one other thing I want to mention. So much that we think we're being told today is healthy and anti-aging is juxtaposed the backdrop of a very, very sick population. And I'm going to give you an easy example. You're going to think to yourself, but wait, Carl, I thought you said I thought I was told fiber is good. So if we look at things from an evolutionary perspective, would fiber have been good for our ancestors 50, 60, 70,000 years ago, a half a million years ago? Let's think about what fiber does. It slows gastric emptying. So you eat and you're full, and your blood sugar doesn't rise too fast because the food in your stomach is moving slowly. The motility shuts down. Food moves slowly. But you need to gather and eat 5,000 calories today. But right after a high-fiber, 1,000-calorie meal, you don't feel like you could eat for 5 hours. Would that have served us well from an evolutionary standpoint? No, we would have died. Right? We wanted highly dense food that we digested easily, that went through us easily, and made room for more food because now we're going to walk to another area and find something else to eat. So who does high-fiber diets benefit? Those who suffer from the diseases of modernity today, who they're so sick already that the only way that we can control their blood sugar is to slow down the emptying of their stomach. Digestive motility is a gift. Being able to digest food quickly and efficiently and get it out of you is a gift. But if you're a sick person, then fiber is important to you because you have to artificially slow that process down.
Right.
So a lot of things today that we're being told are good for anti-aging, yeah, they're good for anti-aging for people who are already aging really crappily. They're like really, really sick, and they're like, you know, they're going to be in wheelchairs by the time they're 70. They'll probably live to 90, but in an institution. Yeah, that's anti-aging for them. For those of us who are intermittent fast, we keep our blood sugar levels down, we monitor this stuff, we don't need fiber. We want the food to be digested and go through so we can have more food in 2 or 3 hours. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, these are rescue tools. If you're sick, then that's what you need. Yeah. But if you're a healthy individual, healthy lifestyle, like you said, intermittent fasting or any kind of a diet that you're doing and you train, you don't need these things.
No. No, you don't see, bodybuilders who use a lot of fiber, they have a hard time consuming all the food that they need to eat.
Absolutely.
And then fiber is just mass building. So here's another misunderstanding. People will shift to the carnivore diet. They'll eat nothing but chicken breasts and salmon and meat, eggs and turkey. And they go, oh, I'm constipated. Why are you constipated? I haven't pooped for 2 days. No, you're not constipated. You're on what's known as a low-residue diet. A low-residue diet means that 90% of what you're eating is actually being metabolized and used by your body, and the waste product made from it is very, very little. So after you poop that third day, you'll start pooping every day again, but smaller amounts. Now, a high-residue diet is 40 grams of fiber a day. People think, oh, I got to get 40 grams of fiber today. And they poop like Carvel. They got to go to the bathroom 3 or 4 times a day, and it's disgusting, and it takes them a half hour to wipe and clean up. That's not good. That's not a good thing.
Nope.
We've got it all confused because we're using sick people to dictate what is considered healthy today.
That's right.
And on that note, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
You already know the benefits of red light therapy. Now you have to find the strongest, best one out there at the best price, right? That's where Scott Chevrolet found himself. He had to create Mito Red Light so you can get the strongest, best red light therapy unit in the world at the absolute best price. And the Superhuman Nation gets an additional discount. Go to MitoRedLight.com and use code SHR to get the lowest price anywhere, plus free shipping inside the USA and deeply discounted shipping worldwide. Go to MitoRedLight.com and use code SHR today. That's MitoRedLight.com. Do you use protein powder? Then you'll want to hear this. Thrive Protein is the single best protein blend in the world, built around what Mother Nature put into mother's milk. Thrive Protein is the first human-appropriate protein blend. There's just too much in Thrive to list in this commercial. That's why I'm challenging you to compare your current protein to Thrive. Get your current protein and go to thriveprotein.com and see how your protein's label stacks up to Thrive. For a limited time, get 3 pounds of Thrive for $59.95, including shipping inside the USA. That's thriveprotein.com and code COMPARE. Get ready to experience protein envy. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety, or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full bull out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. You like my hat?
I do.
It says Hunt with a Henry.
Yeah.
You know who Henry Rifle is?
No.
So we're going to have a banner ad very shortly up on Superhuman Radio to get an amazingly beautiful, like coffee table quality catalog for Henry Rifles.
Nice.
When I was a kid, I always wanted a Henry 4570, and I got myself one this year for my 61st birthday. It took a little while, but, you know. It's not a terribly expensive rifle either. It's not like some of these other. I mean, I think it was $600 or $700, which a lot of people may think is expensive, but not when you see this rifle. Tyler Henry invented the repeating rifle, the lever action repeating rifle. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we had trapdoor rifles and rolling block rifles that you basically cocked and you pulled the spent shell out, you put the new one in, and you closed it and you shot. So basically they were all single shot. He was the first guy who made a rifle with a feeding tube on it and a spring in it that basically pushed the next shell back, so you, when you cocked it, it ejected one and pulled the next one up. That revolutionized the West. That revolutionized the Army. That revolutionized everything, because prior to that, everything was pretty much single shot.
Right.
But Winchester is erroneously attributed with this, because everybody thinks when you have a lever action rifle, it's a Winchester, because Winchester came out and copied his design, and they basically came out with the lever action rifle. So Henry Rifles is probably one of the oldest firearms manufacturers in America today. They're still made here in the United States, and they're owned by an Italian guy who's originally from Brooklyn. So you know I got to love him, right?
Yeah, I love him already.
Anthony Imparato. And I love Henry Rifles because it's about the history and the heritage of the Henry Rifle. And everything that they do is, like, they have the best actions, lever actions in the world. Marlin makes a nice one, but it's nothing compared to the Henry. So I'm convinced that my audience would appreciate knowing about Henry Rifle. So I'm actually going to put a banner ad up on my website that you can click and absolutely for free get a copy of the Henry Rifle catalog sent to you. I got to tell you, I'm warning you now. If you're a gun enthusiast, this catalog is going to make you want a Henry because they are, when you look at them, you're like, oh my God, I remember seeing that rifle in pictures of the Civil War or the Buffalo Hunters. Yeah, that's it. These are the rifles that literally made the Wild West step into line. And so I'm proud to have one, and I'm going to hunt this year with my Henry and everything. So there you go.
Did Chuck Connors from the Rifleman use that one?
So he used a rifle that Henry makes, and it's actually called a mare's leg because it looks like a little horse's leg. It's a shorter version, and it's got the big loop on the thing that, you know, you can swing it and cock it and all that stuff. Yes, yes. Now, I don't know that they used a Henry rifle in the TV show with Chuck Connors, which was called the Rifleman. I don't know that was a Henry. But, yes, they still make that weapon. It's called a mare's leg, and it has a saddle ring, so you can put it in your saddle and tie it so it won't come out while your horse is galloping. Everything they make is authentic to the way it was back in the day, except, you know, they take advantage of better calibers now, better technology. But, they have it. It's called the mare's leg. Yep.
Yeah, my father used to make me watch that when I was a kid.
And Mark. Great show. Remember the kid, Mark? The little son, Mark? Yeah. I used to watch that when I used to come home from school. The Rifleman. Yeah.
My dad still watches it. He watches it on the Old Time Network.
So his first, I can't think of his first name. It was McCain. Lucas McCain. Yeah, the Rifleman. And, whenever he got in trouble, somebody referred to him as a sod buster. Which I guess is somebody who, like, digs, breaks the ground, you know, like a farmer is probably a sod buster. Yeah. But, yeah, he would take that rifle out. He would spin it once and pop, pop, pop. And so to make that happen, on the lever action, you have to put a little tab of metal that you flip up so that every time you cock it, as you close the chamber, that tab of metal hits the trigger and fires it. And basically turns it into a semi-automatic. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that with my 4570 because it just kicks way too hard.
Oh, yeah.
But back then they had 44s. Those were 44s most often, 44 caliber, 45 special in those rifles. So they didn't kick nearly as hard as some of these bigger calibers.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay, I digress. So there you go. Hunt with the Henry. There you go. I got a new hat. What else do we need to cover? Anything else?
I mean, that's about it. I mean, if they want to contact me, you know, they can hit me at my email address, Milo, M-I-L-O, at RenewLifeRx.com. Or you can go to our website, RenewLifeRx.com, and then fill out a schedule call. And then myself or Adam will give a call back.
Excellent. And Adam is in L.A. this week. I hear he's getting ready to become a movie star.
Yeah. He flew out there this week. He met with a bunch of clients out there, had a bunch of business meeting, a couple podcasts he recorded. So he's doing big things.
Yeah, he recorded a podcast for Entrepreneur Magazine, their website, entrepreneur.com.
Yeah. He's going to be doing a lot of podcasts in the next couple months.
Oh, just to get the word out, in other words.
Yeah, just to get the word out. But it more of his, you know, for his entrepreneurship and his book. So.
Very good. Excellent. Great guy. He deserves great success. As do you, Ronnie. Thanks for being here today, brother.
Thank you, man.
And then I'll see everybody. So don't forget, tune into these shows next week. I promise you they will reawaken things that you forgot and get you back in line. They're all fantastic shows. And those of you who have not been listening to Supreme Radio for the past 10 plus years, we are 14 years old this November.
Yeah,
we are the oldest, longest running health, fitness, and anti-aging podcast in the world. In the world. Think about that.
So let me know when you're playing some old off-topic.
I actually found all of them the other day. I have every single one of them on that hard drive. I had to go back. You know, I have all these removable hard drives, and then the original shows are on CD that I had to put on the hard drives. And I was like, oh my God, here's all the off-topic shows, every single one of them.
Those are good shows. I remember listening to them back in the day. That's when I became a fan.
Yeah, I got to be careful about that. That's a side of me that I don't know that I want people to know about.
You don't tell anybody.
Yeah, there you go. Keep the secret for me. All right, Ronnie, thanks for being here, brother. We'll see everybody next week. I'll be off tomorrow and Friday, and all of next week, returning the following week. So there you go.
All right, safe travels, man. Have fun.
Take care. See everybody later. Thanks for listening.